Vito. And you guys, Vito just wrote that like 2 days ago or something because of the title. And we were talking about what is he going to sing. And he's like, I think I'll write something. Can you believe it? This is like the most creative guy, I swear. I'm so lucky I got my Vito. Okay. Do you guys know where bad rainbows go? They go to prism. Don't worry, it's just a light sentence, but it gives them time to reflect.
That's good enough.
That's good enough to start off this talk, right? Okay. Well, I was thinking there seems to be this dichotomy, because we talk a lot in Science of Mind about unity and the oneness, and we also do in Vedanta too. But then again, in the human realm, we see differences. We see the many. Instead of the one, we see the many. Instead of the unity, we see the diversity. Instead of the sameness, we see the differences. So how do we reconcile that from a spiritual point of view? How do we explain it? And in Vedanta, Ramakrishna used to talk about gold and how gold is pure, and we understand what gold is. But sometimes we make gold into an ornament. It can be a ring or a bracelet or a necklace or an earring or whatever. And we see it not as gold, but as the form, but we're not looking at the source of the form. And there's this story about how a jeweler was in the middle of making a beautiful wedding necklace for a rich woman in town. And his apprentice was watching him and watching him and watching him. And he says, oh, I'm out of gold. Please go to the safe. Open up the safe, and I've got some gold in there. Bring it to me because I need some more. And the intern assistant goes to the safe, and he opens it up. And he says, what is he talking about? I don't see any gold in here. What is he talking about? So he closes it back up, and he goes back to the jeweler, and he says, I'm sorry, there's no gold in the safe. I don't know what you're talking about. Guy goes, what? Am I robbed? What are you saying? So he goes to the safe himself and opens it up, and there's all these earrings and bracelets and rings, and he says, here, look, this is the gold. He's like, oh, that's what you meant. And it's just a matter of shifting our thinking to not look at the form and to look at the source. And why don't we do that? Maybe just because we don't know. Like the intern, his assistant, didn't know that, oh, okay, even though it has form, it's still gold. And that's us. Even though we have form, we're still spirit. We're still these spiritual beings having human in form experiences. And we see everybody as different, but in reality, we're all the same. And I think even that is a little bit harder to explain, but or harder to understand. But what I think of it as is cookies. So there's the cookie dough, okay? And the cookie dough has flour and salt and butter and maybe some baking soda or whatever. It has all this stuff in it. Just like all of us have all this stuff in it. And you could even say that we all have the vata, the pitta, the kapha, the five elements in us. Everybody's got that. Just like the cookie dough has all these ingredients. But it gets mixed up. But maybe it's not mixed up exactly perfectly, because there is no perfect. And so every cookie, you're going to put it on the cookie sheet, and it's not exactly the same. I mean, even if you use you roll out the dough and you're using a cookie cutter, every cookie is going to turn out a little bit different, right? So some cookies may be a little more sweet, and some cookies may be a little more salty, and some cookies may have a little more jagged edges, and some cookies may be a little more smooth. And that's how people are too. And, you know, when we're children, I don't know about you guys, but animal crackers used to be a real big thing. And my nephew came over the other day, and my niece was like, look, they still have these in the little box that's like a little purse that you can carry around. But they're different now, and I didn't realize this, but back in the day when we were kids, it was a circus theme, and all the cookies were like the animals were in cages. And PETA said, we don't want to see the animals in cages, so take them out of cages. So now all the animals are not in cages. They're free. They're not free. You still have to pay for them, but they're free, not in cages. But kids are like, oh, I want the giraffe. I want the elephant. I want the monkey. I want the, like one has more value over the other cookie because of the form. But it's all the same cookie, right? It all comes from the same box. And that's us. And that's how we are. And that is, everyone is good enough. Because everyone is good and everyone is enough. Everyone is good enough, just how they are, flaws and all, flaws and all. Life is art, and there is beauty in this creativity. There is beauty in our differences. There is beauty in the flaws, because we're all here to learn these lessons. And we're all here to teach these lessons. We're all here to be examples to each other. That's the law of relationship. We're all connected, and we're here to help each other learn and grow. And that's how we do it, is by our differences, by our flaws, by our experiences, which are all different. But we all have that same heart, that same heart, that same spirit, that same light that needs to shine forth. So there is no perfect, and there is no same, but there is unity. So when you think, have all the cookies in the world been baked? Have all the recipes been discovered? No, there's so many different ones. In fact, you can't even copyright a recipe. Because you just change one ingredient or one amount of one ingredient, and it's a whole different thing. And it's like, you know, as a writer, I think, oh, has every story been told? It's all Shakespeare. You know, almost everything you can go back and say, oh, I think it's kind of like that Shakespeare play or that Shakespeare play. But no, there's so many different variations. It hasn't all been written. It'll never all be written. It's infinite. Like God, like spirit, like this universe, it's infinite. Has every song been sung? No, there's so many more songs. There, how many songs are, we can't even count how many songs there are since the beginning of time until today. A new song, we just heard a new song. Every day we could hear a new song, probably hundreds of new songs. Spotify, go on Spotify. How many new songs per day? Tens of thousands. Tens of thousands, see? This is the creativity that's available to us in the universe. And who's to say if one song is better than another? Just like who's to say if one person is better than another? They're all good enough. They're all good, and they're all enough. They all have something to say. They all have some lesson to teach. They all resonate with people in different ways, in the ways that maybe they need to hear them. I mean, think of all the teachers that we've had since the beginning of time. Gandhi and Socrates and Jesus and, I mean, on and on and on and on. you could even say Dwayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson, Ernest Holmes, more contemporary people. And in a way, they're kind of all saying the same thing, but we hear it differently. Our receptors are different, and one may resonate with us more than another, so that we understand at a deeper level, so that we get something out of it. They're all good. They're all enough. They're all good enough. But to somebody, this is the one, right? To somebody, this is the one, because they're saying the message in a way that we hear it, that we understand it, that it means something to us. There's another story about, if I had a $20 bill, I was going to bring one up, but I don't even have a $20 bill in my purse, I don't think right now. Say I have a $20 bill, fresh, crisp, right out of the bank. And I said, okay, up for grabs. Who wants it? I think everybody would raise their hands, right? 20 bucks. I'm giving it away. Why wouldn't you want it, right? 20 bucks. Okay, now say I took that $20 bill, I crumpled it up, I stomped on it, you know, I dipped it in water, I splashed it all around, and I said, okay, here's this crumpled old yucky $20 bill. Who wants it? We all still want it, right? Because it's 20 bucks. You can't do anything to that, save, you know, kill it, burn it, or whatever, to make it any less valuable. That is the value. And that's just how people are. We may have our flaws. We may have our hurts and our pains and our bad experiences and our traumas and things that happen to us that make us feel less than good enough. But it doesn't change. It doesn't change us. It doesn't change the spirit. It doesn't change our value in any way. In any way, shape, or form, we are good enough no matter what. Our value at age 99 is the same as it was at age 9 or 9 months or 9 weeks or 9 days or 9 months, anything. That is, we are of value. We are here for a purpose, for a reason. We are good. We were brought here for good. In Japan, they have this term called kintsugi, where, like, say a child breaks a vase or something in the home and it shatters into pieces. Do they get mad at the child for breaking this vase? No, they're grateful because they say, oh, now this gives us an opportunity. And they take that vase or that urn or whatever it is, the bowl, to the artist, to the potter, and they say, fix it. And they put like gold or, you know, some kind of material in between the cracks to bring it back together. And they say, because it has been broken and repaired, it is more valuable. And having this displayed in our house will remind us of that. So the law of relationships that says that we have to do our part. We have these soul agreements in our life. We have the family that we have and the friends that we have for a reason. This is all divinely guided for our own growth. And what are we bringing to the table? Are we the sweet one? Are we the salty one? Are we the spicy one? What is it in the buffet? Because if we were all the same, how boring would that be? We wouldn't get anything accomplished. We're all in agreement. We're all okay, hokey dokey. Then what's the point? It's the challenges that help us grow. And isn't that the purpose of our life? To grow, to get closer to God, to take those steps to be better, to have a better understanding of who we are. So me understanding who I am helps me understand who you are. Me understanding who you are helps me understand who I am. And it's just beautiful that way. It just works out. So, like in Ayurveda, there's this saying. Well, I think I made up this saying, but it's in my book. You should love people as is. You know, when you sell an item and it's been used or whatever, and you're a used car sold as is, we need to love that person as is. Not try to change them, not try to expect something of them that they're not capable or willing to give. Just love as is, not as we think they or things should be. Don't put those conditions or expectations. And honestly, I'm talking to myself too, because I know I do this. You know, having a little conflict with somebody in our family right now, where I'm mad because I think he's controlling me, and he's mad because he thinks I'm controlling him. And the truth is, we both just want to be loved and accepted for who we are. And until we do that, the conflict is going to continue. So, you know, it helps to understand that. Sometimes it's easier to understand it than it is to act on it. But we can eventually get there, because it is all meant to be. These people in our life create these situations for us to learn. So I've had a learning situation. And nobody is perfect. Even Jesus Christ. I think I told you guys about this before. There's a series called The Chosen. It's in season 4 now. If you haven't watched it, please watch it. It is so amazing. Every episode is so amazing. And in season 4, recently, there was an episode where Jesus is getting frustrated and upset with his disciples, because he's like, what do I need to do to teach these people? I've been telling them, I've been showing them, I'm everything. They don't get it, you know? He's like, they don't get it. I have all this important work to do, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do. So I'm distracted from my work because I'm trying to get it through their heads, because who else is going to continue my legacy? Who else is going to continue the work after I'm gone? Like, he knows at this point that he's not going to last. He knows something's coming. And he needs them to learn this. That it was James and John were like, can we ask you a question? And he's thinking, okay, yes. Can we sit on your left hand and your right hand? And he's like, what the? Like, is that important where you sit? What? Why are you talking about this? That is something that is the problem with this world, where everybody's fighting for hierarchy. That is so anti what I've been teaching you. And they're like, well, but you gave Peter a new name. You told him he's the leader, you know. He's like, okay, we need structure. We need somebody to, and actually, this is a historical point that I learned afterwards. Peter's name was Simon before, and all through the series, he was Simon. And then Jesus decided he was ready, because he had learned enough. He had been through enough struggles and pain and loss in his life where he really understood Jesus' teaching. And Jesus says, your name is now Peter. Peter means the rock, and you are the rock. So when I am gone, people can come to you for questions, kind of thing. And all of you are going to get to this point at some time, you know, when you're ready. Because you are all going to carry on my words. And the other disciples were like jealous of him. They're like, oh, but he gets to be the rock, and how come I'm not the rock instead? And Jesus was frustrated, and he had explained it to them. So, you know, nobody is perfect, but we are all good And we are all enough. Okay? I think that we need to know that we are the universe. We are the same stuff as all the stars in the sky. Those stars shine brightly. The sun shines brightly, even if there's clouds, and we shine brightly. And we can manifest. There's this big trend online right now I've been following. So many people are talking about manifesting, manifesting, manifesting. And if you just think hard enough and wish hard enough and, you know, pray enough, you can get it. You can manifest anything. But they're forgetting one thing. We are not in control. God is in control. The universe is in control. At some point, and it's in Science of Mind treatment too, you have to release it. You have to release it, knowing that whatever happens is for your own good, for your own growth. We have to get to that point. We can control our intention, but we can't control the outcome. I can control my intention of what I mean when I'm arguing with this person, but I can't control how they take it. So we can all just do our best and know that our best, doing our best, is good enough. Okay? Amen. And so it is.